God, Trevor, vicious man. Must you go on and on? The man was sick. He was coming apart, losing his mind in illness.
So much pain.
And bleeding from his eyes on August 4th.
Fatigue without parallel.
He cursed his eyes and said,
"May it please our Lord to free me from them."
Columbus was a deeply religious man. He was ill. Most historians have the decency to respect the privacy of this illness. Let the man rest for the love of God.
I am wholly ruined, as I have said. Hitherto I have wept for others. Now may heaven have pity on me. May earth weep for me.
He was a broken man, unrecognized for his achievements, ravaged by illness.
Alone in my trouble, infirm, daily expecting death, surrounded by a million savages full of cruelty, and thus deprived of the holy sacraments of Holy Church. How forgotten will be this soul if here it part from this body. Weep for me, whoever has charity, truth, and justice.
Bill, it shifts to you.
Cologne was not the only victim. Las Casas, please.
Wherefore many Taino went to the woods and there hung themselves after having killed their children, saying it was better to die than to live so miserably. The women, with the juice of a certain herb, dissipated their pregnancies in order not to produce children, and then, following the example of their husbands, hung themselves. Some threw themselves from high cliffs down precipices. Others starved themselves to death. Out of the 2 million of original inhabitants, through the number of suicides and other deaths imposed by the Spaniards, there are not a 150 now to be found.
A Harvard study team said in May 1991 that the situation in post-war Iraq was a public health catastrophe and predicted that at least 170,000 children under the age of 5 would die within a year. October 5th, 1992, Kuwait's male elite jammed polling stations for the country's first election in 7 years. Only males over 21 who can trace their ancestry back 72 years are allowed to vote.
Gentlemen, 15 seconds remaining in the round and in the game. Trevor, you drive.
After a year shipwrecked in Jamaica, ravaged by starvation, sickness, and fear, a ship from Española rescued the marooned Spaniards, and Columbus returned home for the last time. In the fresh April spring of 1506, Christopher Columbus followed the court into the heart of ancient Castile. On the day of the Feast of the Ascension, Columbus underwent the last sacraments of the church. His last words were,
"Into thy hands, Lord, I commend my spirit."
And that's the final bell, gentlemen. Audience vote, please, and we'll be back in a jiffy.
We're off.
Good try, Bill. You must understand that despite all your grand posturing, you've convinced very few. Learning of legends is deeply ingrained. Every sunny day, every holiday reaffirms the legend. People don't want to tear apart their legends. They need the day off.
Trevor, Trevor, you never cease to amaze me. Good match, my friend. Well fought.
Trevor. The corporal was just now telling me that his family is poor. But had he been a rich man, he still would have joined the military.
Yes, sir. I'm proud to live here, and it was an honor to serve this nation when it called.
You should be as proud as I'm proud to be sitting here next to you, sir.
Intellibro.
How do you feel, corporal?
Feel? I'm a little tired. Probably jet lag, sir.
Corporal Mestizo, were you required to take the anthrax antitoxin vaccine?
I'm not at liberty to say, sir.
Anthrax is an untested drug given to soldiers throughout the Mideast to ward off the effects of chemical attack. There have been reports of fatigue and illness related.
I hooked up my telephone to the computer.
Completely unsubstantial.
Who the hell are you? You didn't support this war. Your voice means nothing to me.
Corporal, you may view me as an enemy, but if you need information regarding anthrax and its effects, please go.
I'm just doing my job, Eddie.
Mr. Shaw, I'm really sorry about the accent thing. It won't happen again.
We'll talk after
in
the
5,
show,
4, 3, 2,
we're back! So ends the story of Christopher Columbus. Navigator, scientist, discoverer of the new world. And now, we'd like to announce the results of tonight's conflagration. Corporal Mestizo, would you do the honors?
In an 8-round fight with 1 round a draw, 3 rounds and 1,650 points going to Bill Frump, and 4 rounds and 17,950 points going to the victor, the reigning champion, Trevor Martin. Yeah.
Thank you. Poll request.
Granted.
Let's make a poll.
How many will celebrate the 500th year of the landing of Columbus?
95%.
That's your highest rating ever. Congratulations, Trevor. Everybody loves a holiday. One more poll. How many are aware of the virtual genocide of the indigenous populations of the Indies?
25%. Good night, everybody!
President Bush knew that Saddam Hussein was using money gained by the bartering of grain supplied him by the Department of Agriculture to buy and develop weapons of mass destruction. In other words, the American taxpayer paid for the buildup of Saddam Hussein's military machine with the president's knowledge.
A legacy that has resulted in generations of war.
Are you finished?
Yes.
Good. We've been off the air anyway. No one heard it.
Studio audience did.
320 people do not a movement make.
That remains to be seen.
Cast in alphabetical order was Star and Dreef as Mrs. McCarthy, Lee Arenberg as Ferdinand and Senator Droll, Ned Bellamy as Bill DeJanero, Kit Thorne, and
the tonight at the 6 o'clock news.
Man, I hate to watch the news.
39 dead.
Man, that's cold. 39 dead? That don't even sound right. Game is crazy. Crazy.
News
I know.
Flash.
What?
Things ain't looking right.
I already know.
Hey, the newscaster said things ain't looking right. That's crazy.
Newsflash, the world is going down the drain in a hurry. Rest in peace to all my soldiers, here's a peace up early. Gotta wake up early, by 7 the worm's gone. In the streets of San Francisco, it's a war zone. But it's my home, 340 a zone, 1150 a quarter P. 42 for a whole tank, 16 for a key. Believe me, it's a beautiful struggle. When you put the pieces together and you solve the puzzle. Perseverance and muscle, staying strong through the hard times. Articulate bronze, in the description of what's on my mind. And what you'll find in here is a black man not controlled by this campaign of fear. I hope you hear every word from the hood to the birds. I disturb to increase the peace, bring awareness to the beast. Trapped in North American streets of danger. Keep a Quattro Cinco with one in the chamber. I protest and I claim to be not an Uncle Tom, sell my culture out MC. Making money off of misery. Why you wanna kill me? The mass murdering brothers killed a lot of my homies. Make me shed a tear in this booth for my soul's twisted truth. So when I'm facing every fire, my only option is to shoot. But never take me alive or have me trapped in a cell for 25 to hell. Cause I was forced to make mail. I'm a ghetto survivor, speak a universal language, trapped in a pit of poverty. All I wanted was a sandwich with a soda and a chance to get older and achieve my dreams. On the court there ain't no I in team, but there's an I in win. Trapped in this world that's in. Born and bred to be a writer like Floyd Mayweather. Born and bred to be a fighter, George Jackson, Nat Turner. That's who I admire. Got the sign and spit the fire, never retire. Call me Sire, young prince, forever rich with this knowledge. The haters are polished, demolished with a wrecking ball of love. And still then I'm smoking dub after dub. Forever dub, yeah, yeah.
Bounce on me, rock with me, shake with me. Go, go, go dumb. Bounce with me, rock with me, shake with me. Go, go, go dumb. Bounce with me, rock with me, shake with me. Go, go, go dumb. Bounce with me, rock with me, shake with me. Go, go. I go dumb, but I'm not a dummy. Won't sell my soul or my culture off of money. Money, I go steak to steak. Get steak on my plate, I'm Selassie the Great. Wave your hands from side to side if you're ready to ride and you love the West Side. 415-510-707-916, it's time to get rich, rich. I never
switch, stealing plans from east to west. And you know I'm not about that stress. I smoke the best, it's purple pain, pain. And you know I make it rain. Pretty young thing wants to get with me. I'm just a G from the SFC, the sucker free. Any party, I'm VIP, cause I'm a gangster representing the streets. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks, 100 racks. 5, 10, 20, 50, 100,000. Stay shopping, not browsing. Flying high in the clouds in. Ex-files to the police, but it'll never be peace till we get a piece. DEA, ATF, I don't trust them. Brothers like me, man, I just dodge and duck them. I stay blunted off the best weed. I stay keyed, and you know I got what you need. I say free all the political prisoners, street life sinners. The game was a menace. And Fred Smith's with little riders in the streets, throwing rocks at the police trick. Cause I'm a revolutionary black soldier, ducking, dodging rollers, system can't control us. Started bust, started riot, burn the city down. With this underground sound, stay down like the ground. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks. I roll with ballers and match, and no jealous got me strapped. Trying to get 100 racks, 100 racks, 100 racks.
What's up with your talk, man?
Oh, man, you know, sitting back here cushioning, man, with this Remy Grant cooling this tea. You know how I do, baby.
Oh, I already know, man. You know, trying to get back up with this lab, man. You know, we got to do it for the summertime, man.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, we got to blaze up Frisco, man. You know how we do, man. Put on our Niners jerseys and our Giants hat, man, and get to stomping around in our Jay Jonas. You know what I mean?
Man, you know, I'm with it, Big Daddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm the young Padawan, man. Let's do it, Big Jedi.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we up to, man. That's what
we doing. That's what's up, baby. For sure. One. I cruise the city sights. The street is my backbone. Got my Ed Hardys and my button up, and I'm ready to get my back on. You know I got the pack chrome. I got rocks and the stones. It's dangerous outside, but the ghetto still is my home. Come to Frisco. It's a tiger on the loose. Be careful in other neighborhoods, cause the boys might shoot. The white folks still treating us like we in roof. I can't wait to flip me a Benz and a Lex coupe. The ghetto household where the junkies on crack. You need God in your life to get the monkey off your back. Don't try to punk ball heads. You know I stay strapped. No matter what happens to my Negroes, I'm gonna stay black.
Shine on, S-A-O. Psycho is when we get dough. Don't do blow. Does that push? Make our runners run hard like Reggie Bush. Better take a look from the sucker free city. Give money capital, the streets showing no pity. Nails pretty, but we clean like new money. Looking bummy, grinding hard in the cost of the sunny. Uplift the ghetto masses. Get your money in a duffel bag or take some classes. Stay in the max fashion, I'm not a dame, but from the cops I stay dashing. Fine women, European cars, I have a strong passion. Stay smashing on the Chevy pedal. Shake the haters and the devil, revolutionary rebel. We hot like water burning on the kettle. 50 cals, 9 millis, all types of heavy metal. From Soweto to Hunter's Point, we on point like icicles. Jedi Knight, shake the games and the riddles. Bodies riddled with bullets, if you catch me. Sucker free in these streets till I die, see. Handle mandatory business, white man, I'm always on this kid's list, cause I'll never enlist, to the fizz, I never snitch, born last of a dying breed, mama's first seed, ride till I die with my dinner deed. F-R-I-S-C-O, San Francisco is where we get dough, don't do blow, does that push, make our runners run hard like Reggie Bush, better take a look from the sucker free city, get money capital, the streets showing no pity, nails pretty but we clean like new money, looking bummy, grinding hard in the palms of the sunny.
Yeah, 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 1, 2, 1, 3. This is Augusto Cesar Sandino Segundo saying you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. listen online, tell your friends, tell the whole internet worlds about it. What you got to say, Chris?
Fuck the FCC.
Introducing for you suck MCs, pretentious ass niggas and groupies, step your content up. But in the meanwhile, I give you Abdul Malik. I love Oakland, I'm on some international shit. You can find me on the strip, man, I get how I live. Ask the OGs, man, they fuck with young blood, cause they spit that content for revolutionary thugs. Early bird, get the worm, and I don't ever sleep. I'm up early in the morning, burning these CDs. The hustle don't stop, at least not on my watch. I push 1,000 CDs for every number on the clock. Local MC, neighborhood, push a man, a kid. Kick more balls in the desert, God send your boy. Got more flows in Sacktown, got hoes. Stockton Boulevard, Wide Eye 80 and Macro. I fuck with Old Park, Bang, Su Wu Gang. On my grand hustle, I collect loose chains. Ashes to ashes, some dust to dust. They say, who's that nigga with the golden touch? Yup. Yo, well, I'm the future, 100%. I'm heaven sent, hot boxing in the president's tent. And I blow mics, dice, and herbs, and hot birds. A rich kid, these niggas couldn't spend what I earned. 21 years young with a veteran flow. My bitches never get love, I give them dick to go. And I'm never in the club, I'm in the parking lot with two bottles and three models trying to lead a spot. Yeah, this rap shit is easy. Follow my step, I tell them fuck you. Pay me, now cut my check, it's my profession. Yeah, I like the way that sound, baby. I'm Abdul Malik, I'm the one with the crown. Money and pounds, you can catch me in the government lounge. I got my bitch keeping track of that picture smell.
Yeah, what's up, family? This is Zion, Zion, a.k.a. Baba Zumbi, man. And I'm here chilling with the Brown Berets, you feel me? I'm with my man Sandino on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. You can check us out at freakradio.org, you know what I'm saying? This is the global local representing for the people, man. One love.
Yo, 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 what up, man?
Praise to the Lord of the breaks. Last night a DJ saved my life. Them turntables done turned my fate.
Hey DJ, let the record spit, 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 spit. It's in Genesis where we begin. Twas in the land of B, act, the one cool earth. When rockin' the party, put the brakes to work. When rockin' the, when rockin' the party, put the brakes to work.
Don't stop, get it, get it. Let me put some bass in the hands high in the sky. If the DJ rockin' right,
DJ, 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 DJ.
Don't stop, get it, get it. Let me put some bass in the hands high in the sky. If the DJ rockin' right,
DJ, DJ, DJ.
In the flogger's dream, homeboys have. Well, with the click, got a new style. Two techniques and a mix of mic. Grand Wiz, the adore, but scratch the light. There's one big dada named Bambada. Zulu crew, he be that fada. Hell on earth, couldn't get no hotter. So real DJ gon' spread that water like he oughta. In the rain or the sun, heal the pain. Beat the drum, gotta make a change. Got the dance floor packed, so we can't complain. That's red alert, kick free, Scott of Rock, ISP. Gratefully, now pump your fist. Without the DJ, we don't exist.
Don't sit. DJ, 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 D
make me feel brand new. Make me feel brand new.
Every breath is a prayer, we still living. World still spinning, I'm still Thanksgiving. Trying to get it right, but I'm left here tripping.
Make me feel brand new.
Used to feel a little better about the garden I'm tending. Weeds in my life, enemies I befriended. Feels hella heavy, please don't get offended.
Make me feel brand new.
Got jealousy and envy around every corner. Suckers pop junk, but I know they don't want it. Smile on my face, but I know it ain't cool.
Make me feel brand new.
I ask you to forgive them in this world of sin. We all need a little love, where to begin? Was a child, now a man, you're my bestest friend. Unseen, but you feel like my next of kin.
What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna? What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna? What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna? What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna?
Wish I could come home, talk face to face. Third rock from the sun, drift through space. Feeling like an angel with a dirty face.
Make me feel brand new.
Like the world turn quicker with every drag clicker. Hand on the post, one eye on the ticker. When the last trumpet sound, what the hell we supposed to do?
Make me feel brand new.
Greenhouse in effect so the globe get hotter. Third world villages can't find water. Sons get the sins passed down from the father.
Make me feel brand new.
I wouldn't ask you the question to save us all, but I bask in your blessing if pain is wrong. We were cut from your cord when we took the fall. So when I'm lost in the dark, help me find the shore. Please.
What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna? What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna? What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna? What should I do? When can I talk to you through my antenna?
Picking up Freak Radio 101.1, Santa Cruz, freakradio.org, you know what I'm saying? Picking up hip hop, love, one.
The homeless are a problem for only
And happy Turkey Day to all you folks out there. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. And it's, a show that's starting 15 minutes late. So, good evening. I'm a little sleepy because I just got up from a nap here. Spent the afternoon, some of it, at the Veterans Hall Homeless Day Thanksgiving, homeless meal on Thanksgiving Day. And, not a lot to report from that. HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, typically, and today was no exception, has a table at the Veterans Hall, although this is the first time the Veterans Hall has been open in 4 or 5 years. I think it's 5 years. I think 2009 was the last time the county brainiacs allowed the Veterans Hall to actually open up, in spite of the demands of the veterans, their engineers, and so forth, that the so-called architectural problems that the hall had were not in any way involving life-sustaining difficulty. There was some suspicion that this was a punitive operation from the brain of Tim Bratton, but I don't have any clear evidence on that that provides the smoking gun. Bratton was a character who wanted to use the Veterans Hall for other purposes than for veterans and their allies, profit-making activity, yoga classes, and things of that sort. Anyway, there was a line. At least 800 people got served, according to Elmo, one of the servers who came out, and even I got a plate of turkey and cranberry and stuffing and Brussels sprouts. Ooh, I hate Brussels sprouts. I can't stand them. But there were many different kinds of pastries for those who like pastries, and I like pastries. But that was the Thanksgiving meal. A lot of people were in line. A couple of security guards were standing around. A lot of relatively free interaction between people on the sidewalk, and you wouldn't normally find that in front of the Veterans Hall on an average day, nor would you find security guards there on an average day. When crowds of people, homeless people or otherwise, get together, it becomes more likely that people will use the sidewalk in the fashion for which it was intended. You know, you want to sit down, you sit down. You want to bounce a ball on the sidewalk, although I didn't see any ball bouncing today. You can do that. All these things are illegal on almost all the sidewalk up and down Pacific Avenue and the side streets, and indeed in all business districts in Santa Cruz. You know, didn't see any panhandling, actually, interestingly enough, though I did get to one individual who had a panhandling ticket. Didn't stay long, and I had a guest who was going to come on the show, but I'm late, and I may have missed him, or he just may have decided to go elsewhere. It is Thanksgiving, after all, and I mean, who wants to stalk through a not quite frosty but nippy evening to come to a radio show that probably few people are listening to? Although, I don't know, maybe people are perhaps crowded around the radio. You never can tell. Just waiting for my show to come on. So in the studio with me, I have those two experts from the street. Well, at least one expert from the street. Dr. Mike, who has his own show still, I believe. Do you, Dr. Mike? You better get closer to the mic, Mike. Otherwise, people won't be able to hear you.
Yeah, that's me, all right. And it's Monday. My show is Monday and Tuesday. Monday is 6 to 8, Tuesday 8 to 9.
Okay. And, I mean, that's... you've been covering a lot of medical topics. Have you been covering them in their economic aspects? You probably have, because you're using alternative solutions that presumably are cheaper and more easily accessible to low-income folks.
Well, I like to go natural if possible, but some of them are actually just new ways of treating diabetes and some other diseases, somewhat new way of curing it, coming out of the medical profession. But a lot of the information I give out is actually coming out of medical doctors' offices, strangely
enough. In other words, my question for you is whether that it's more helpful for people who haven't got money, or whether it's more helpful to the upper middle class individual who is lolling about by their computer or radio at home and doesn't
you know, has, should we say, more access to insurance and so forth.
I would say it's more helpful to the smart people, to the natural people out there who don't want to go through the side effects of drugs and the ill effects in the body.
In other words, you're not commenting on the economic stuff that I'm pointing out. In other words, I'm talking about poorer people,
If I had to, I would say yes. I would say it's obviously cheaper to, know, and better to use natural products. I mean, after all, I'm an MD, and I'm also a naturopath. I went back to school to study natural medicine, so I do believe natural is better.
Huh. We also have in the studio the inimitable, or catch her if you can, Katie, or Kathleen, or is it Catherine? I'm never sure which it is. It's something that starts with K, right, K?
It's Kathleen with an L-E-A-N.
Oh, Kathleen. All right, I'll at some point try to make a note of that so as not to, well, I'll probably embarrass myself again anyway, Kate. So, you two were scampering around the homeless meal, helping at the table, and so were you, Mike. Thank you very much for coming down. And we were giving out flyers at the homeless table, and also our main project, which we are still trying to put into shape, is to get people with citations who have gotten them in the last 5 months, 6 months actually, if you want to be technical, but we give it a month leeway, to show up at the homeless table or at the homeless meal where we happen to be, or accost one of us on the street, and present us with a ticket and sign a claim against the city for the damages that they have suffered from that ticket. And thinking most specifically now both of sleeping tickets and, of course, tickets that are also accompanied by property loss, such as seizure of property, homeless gear, sleeping gear, or you come back to your camp and you find, you rarely find a ticket posted, you just find your stuff gone and your tent slashed, or at least have on a number of occasions, according to the reports I've gotten, and that probably folks listening in have heard, at least that's what the claims are, of people who I've interviewed on the streets. And the idea being that once you made a claim against the city, within 45 days they have to accept it or deny it, and they almost invariably deny it. They want to provide more work for their erstwhile city attorney, John Barisoni, or perhaps he wants to provide more work, or perhaps they just don't want to get the reputation of being an easy city that, you know, pays for the damage it creates. You want to do that, at least not this government. And so what you then do is you then can either sue the city in municipal or superior court. It's both the same thing these days, which is costly and usually involves an attorney. Or you can take the matter to small claims court, where you can claim damages of up to $10,000. And that, of course, is what we're looking at. You can then subpoena people. You can you can subpoena documents. You can require the offending officers or rangers or, who knows, merchants or Take Back Santa Cruz vigilantes, whoever they may be, to come into court to defend themselves without attorneys. There's no attorneys, supposedly, and I think that's still the case, allowed in small claims court. So it's a nice theory. We don't know where it's going to go. We're just beginning to kind of raise this issue in the homeless community. And I will be, well, I or someone from Huff, I'm hoping, will be at the, set up a table or use the table of the Food Not Bombs crew, which shows up every Saturday at 4 o'clock at the post office and has a meal. And they're also there on Sunday, with something less of a meal, more of a food distribution, as I understand it. But Saturday at 4, hopefully we'll have some volunteers down there. You never can tell. And we'll see what we can do. I'm getting some advice from out-of-town attorney Paul Cook, who has successfully defended off attacks from the mayor of Baldwin Park, a suburb of Los Angeles, where Cook has become notorious for standing up for the rights of his boxing students. He's a teacher of boxing down there, and he's also an attorney, and he's also a young firebrand. He spoke before the homeless folks and also before the Penny University when he came through town, and he's very concerned about showing people how to use tools to resist the kind of abuse that is daily here in Santa Cruz for poor people. And probably in other cities as well, but we are here in Santa Cruz, so Santa Cruz is our focus. So that's what we were trying to do. A lot of people came to the table. We got a number of people who signed up as volunteers, or a number of people showed us their citations. We haven't signed anybody on to claim forms yet. We gave out one to a person who wanted to look it over and then give it back to us when he sees us again. That's always problematic. I like to sign up people while they're there, or else think, you know, let's move on. But we'll see if that happens. And again, this is a slow process. There's also, as I understand it, according to a report a couple weeks old from an activist and attorney, I guess we call him an attorney, Steve Plaich, who also community activist, really, more than an attorney, but says he's been to law school, and I haven't found any evidence to contradict that, nor, of course, have I looked at all the evidence of other people's credentials all the time. But he and Sarah Leonard and out-of-town attorney Judy Berry are supposedly putting together a class action lawsuit against people, against the city, on behalf of people who have lost their property through the abuses, seizures, and destructive behavior of Parks and Rec rangers, labor-ready crews that follow in their wake, and such like. And I haven't got an update from him, and he just... It's a hard man to call. He calls back on the phone, but he does write an occasionally good article, and he has one in the current Street Spirit. That's Steve Plaich. Rhymes with H, for those who want to check him out. So I'm going to begin now with some older interviews, which I took on the street some weeks back. This is the middle of an interview with a guy who was he was busking. I think he was a musician. No, he was a poet. He was a street poet, and he was offering poetry for cash. And he was a little sensitive about reading his poetry because he wanted to make sure that his copyright protections were protected. And I said, on free radio, you've got to be joking. You know, everything we put on here is public domain. It simply is. But he did want to give his views about the laws, which are not my views. They're a contrast, and... you can judge for yourself what you might want to do. We're talking about, of course, there are new laws that are, and it will be going into effect in about 3 weeks, that will implement the performance pens or performance cages or dots for dodos, as I sometimes call them, that you'll find on the sidewalk that will now limit the places that you can be legally if you want to set up a table, sit down with a cap in your hand, with a sign quietly looking for money. Play a guitar with an open guitar case, vend, any of those things, will be limited to these dotted areas up and down Pacific Avenue, which are larger than the spaces that are legally allowed people now, although the spaces that are people are legally allowed are widely ignored, both by both police and performers. And they're also, there are 61 of them, but I would say at least half of those spaces are in areas that people are not likely to use because they're way off to the side. There are a couple new ones that have been added at intersections, and that's good. There have been none of them, as far as I know, are next to buildings, as promised by Vice Mayor and soon-to-be Mayor Don Lane. But, you know, I've asked Don specifically again and again for the information as to where his magical and mythical spaces are that are actually next to buildings. Why is it important to be next to a building? Well, if you're a performer, it is much better to have your back to a building and sing out into the street. We're talking about a building that is, you know, like a wall of some kind, not a building that blocks any kind of traffic or, you know, interferes with what a merchant is doing. And it also is healthier. You don't have to, you know, breathe in exhaust fumes from cars and motorcycles and also risk getting hit by a door that's opening from a car or a person who's crossing the street. And the noise that comes also from motorcycles and so forth is, you know, it can be on occasion rather overpowering, and it's probably overpowering even if you're playing against a building. But also, there are all kinds of good reasons that have been presented, incredibly presented, by Tom Noddy, who was himself the originator, with a couple of others, of the Street Performers Voluntary Guidelines of 1980, abandoned in 2002, or actually 2003, by the City Council in an attempt to give the police more tools to drive away those that they felt were inappropriate to the downtown ambiance, which they use with great regularity, mostly by not so much by enforcing laws, but by giving orders. They're big at giving orders all over the place. And if people don't obey the orders, of course, they don't know what's going to happen. So they're usually it's yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full. And when it isn't, you'll suddenly get a cluster of cops appearing like cockroaches when you turn on the lights. Suddenly they're there. I saw that this morning when I went to the Cafe Pergolisi, sort of in preparation for this. Kate, what did you see? You actually came late, I guess. You saw this.
I was there before you, actually, looking for you
and
waiting
for
you.
But you weren't at the actual event across the street in the Elm Street parking lot.
Well, I came outside and saw your car, and then, of course, I saw where you were, and I saw you engaged with the police.
Yeah, I'm talking about the incident, though.
Right. The incident, I didn't see the incident.
Right,
let me
give the description at the beginning.
I'll tell you what I heard.
Yeah, no, I want to hear that. But there were three individuals sitting inside the on the berm of a tree area in the middle of the Elm Street parking lot, which is across from the Elm Street Mission and from the Cafe Pergolisi, between Pacific and Cedar, for those of you who know the downtown. And there were two squad cars pulled up blocking the area this is a parking lot, a city parking lot. And one of them was a station wagon driven by our very own bailiff, or not bailiff, sergeant at arms at city council, John Bush, who's a sergeant on the streets as well as being a sergeant at arms who has taken away my tape recorder on numerous occasions in order to implement the mayor's thou shalt not record unless you are standing or sitting next to your tape recorder. Or your audio recorder. I'm still an old school guy who's being forced to do new school because of my dying equipment, to the amusement and perhaps edification of Dr. Mike, who's been trying to school me in how to use new equipment and is actually maybe helpful in doing this today. Digital equipment, as he's saying. Anyway, but getting back to this event in the Elm Street parking lot, I was supposed to be making signs for this event today where we're going to advise people come on over, show us your tickets, we'll help you fill out a claim form. And instead, I noticed these three people, two men and one woman, looked like counterculture, traveler-type kids. They weren't kids, they were adults, I think, and they were, although I don't know their age, I didn't check their IDs, they were being grilled by Officer Winston and a female officer who I didn't recognize, younger woman who was blonde, and also a Sergeant Bush. Sergeant Bush was also rummaging through their vehicle, although they said they had not given him permission to search their vehicle. And
out-of-state plates.
And the plates were from Tennessee, actually, to be very specific, as far as I remember. And I immediately started broadcasting from my kind of booming voice at the edge of the parking lot, because if you walk into a parking lot in Santa Cruz, unless you're walking through, which I should have done immediately anyway, but didn't initially do because of my internal cop who always says, no, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, this is legal, this is illegal, instead of saying, what's the right thing to do here? I mean, let's just do the right thing, and, you know, should be the priority. And the right thing would be to get close and to interview or to observe and document what's going on. I did finally walk into the area after giving some commentary and loudly drawing people's attention, and a couple of African-American locals pulled out their video phones and began viewing this incident. Nobody got beaten up. We're not talking about fire hoses or tear gas, you know, or six bullets in the gut a la Ferguson, nothing like that. What we're talking about, though, is harassment and, you know, police officers giving these stern lectures and searching illegally, in my view, or certainly unconstitutionally. Supreme Court's heightened powers to police be damned. The Fourth Amendment says, you know, you should be secure in your person and effects unless there's a warrant or probable cause, and we don't have any of that, really, except the basic law, and this is the law that Sergeant Bush wouldn't tell me until I finally kind of squeezed out of him what was going on later. By getting they'll always say, oh, this is a matter of privacy. We don't want to, you know, disturb the privacy of the people by telling the community what is happening. And I shouted to the police, to the people who were being held by the police, do you mind if, what are you being held for? And usually they'll say, we don't know. And then you say, is it okay if the officer tells me? And then they usually say yes, and then you ask again, and then the officer gives some other excuse. I'm very busy. I've got to go. You black off 3 feet. You're too close. Whatever. But in this case, Sergeant Bush did to point out that they were violating the what I call the parking lot panic law, which is the law that says you can't be in a parking lot unless you're parking or retrieving your vehicle, and then only for 15 minutes. And also, if you're walking through, that's also allowed. But when I talked to one of the people afterward, as you may hear from some of this audio, if we can ever get this thing working, and Dr. Mike is hard at work at that, or presumably may be able to work on that, they told me, no, we just arrived, and we were sitting in the car for no more than 5 minutes, and we were rolling cigarettes. Bush claimed they were smoking the cigarettes, and he then used their alleged crime by being in the parking lot. Although I would say if they were accurate, we would have to ask him how he knew they were there for more than 15 minutes with their vehicle. He could claim, oh, well, they may have been there for only 5 minutes, but they weren't parking or retrieving. They were just sitting in their vehicle. And in any case, this is all pretty arcane and obscure. The point was they were harassing three people on Thanksgiving. And my point was to make them feel as uncomfortable as possible and to clarify for the community, without interfering with what they're doing, you know. I wasn't interested in interfering with what they were doing. And Katie will have her thoughts on this, too, in a moment. Well, actually, I would have loved to interfere with what they were doing, because I think it's complete crap, and they're best be advised to go after real crime. But interfering with an officer is a misdemeanor. You know, that's the nice charge they use, and they can't think of anything else. So instead, I was advising the community loudly what they were doing. And I did ask a couple questions of the officers. And these three were sort of meekly sitting down. They were no threat to anyone. And eventually, they were released without citations. And they were warned not to take heroin. And they were warned it was dangerous to... There were certain drugs that were dangerous. I couldn't hear everything that was being said. And there was apparently marijuana in the car, and they had found a small quantity of marijuana, and they acted like they were the most charitable police in the world by not ticketing them for marijuana. I don't think that was an example of charity. I think that was an example of you're being watched by people with cameras all over the place. Don't make a bust of three people on Thanksgiving Day with two squad cars and three cops for a small quantity of marijuana, when you had no probable cause to search them in the first place. You're not going to get anywhere with the prosecution. But, you know, I wasn't there for the entire incident. I came as the incident was in progress. Afterward, however, Katie showed up, and she insisted on walking to the middle of the parking lot and defiantly sitting down, perhaps daring the police to come and hassle her. They, of course, ignored her and moved on. But, Katie, what were your thoughts on that?
I have a couple thoughts on this. One is, while I was at the cafe waiting for you, I went outside a couple times, and there was this public works truck, the Santa Cruz public works truck, kept driving around. I mean, he drove a few times. I wonder if that person reported to the police these out-of-state cars that obviously these kids, the cars were a mess. Their suitcases, all their stuff was everywhere. Everything but a surfboard and a K-Pig sticker. And so I observed that, and I was curious about that. And then when I was sitting there trying to see if the police would come and say, put your cigarette out, what are you doing? I was timing, you know, I was there for 8 minutes. Friends of these kids came by and asked, you know, do you know where our friends went? And, you know, we saw the police here. Did they take them? And I said, well, no, they went into the restaurant. Do I look like a hooker? And they started laughing. I thought, well, maybe they'll come and cite me for, you know, soliciting my body.
You'll be cited for being in a parking lot without permission of the city. Actually, there's at least two exceptions to the parking lot panic law. One is if you are a city employee, of course, because then you could be in the parking lot all day and all night if you'd like.
Can you smoke? Roll cigarettes?
I don't think you can smoke if you're...
You can't roll
at
cigarettes?
Least, although I don't know if the police would stop you from smoking if you're a city employee. I know there's been a lot of claims and accounts and some visual documentation of selective enforcement of people smoking. That's an issue I brought up at the Tuesday night Ferguson support for Michael Brown, a denunciation of the release of Darren Wilson. He was actually never even held in custody, Officer Darren Wilson, if you want to use that kind of title, in Ferguson, Missouri, after he shot Michael Brown dead. And the district attorney, all of whose relatives are police officers, according to a recent report I read, and he himself lost his father in an incident, completely in the view of numerous columnists and claims on the local community as conveyed by the media, very biased guy, and a white guy, you know, as well. I'm not saying that necessarily indicates bias, but the entire power structure in Ferguson is white. The police department is white. The city council is, I think, with one exception, white. Anyway, there was a protest in Santa Cruz in support of the protests were happening across the country around Ferguson. In fact, there may still be protests going on tonight. I'm going to check to see if that's actually happening, even on this holiest of all turkey nights, Native American Slaughter Day.
While you're doing that, Robert, when I first pulled up by the cafe at 11 o'clock-ish, there was a black security guard, First Alarm, walking down the street. You know, there just seems to be so many eyes on us wherever you turn. It's like, wow, there's... did you see him also? Dr. Mike saw him, too.
I didn't notice. My eyes were focused on these three cops. And as I said, eventually I got bolder, and I moved closer to them and asked more questions. I was told to leave the parking lot. You cannot be here. I said, I'm allowed to walk through the parking lot, Officer Winston. You know that. Let's not be a mean police officer, because it's true. You are. And... Well, see, here's a crime scene. This is all a crime scene. He said, I see. Uh-huh. And, of course, that's nice terminology, both for throwing a nice black shadow over everything that's happening around you, increasing and justifying your authority, and, of course, eliminating reporters from the area, because that's what I am in this regard. I'm a critic as well, of course, but I'm also a reporter. Looking at the situation in terms of Ferguson, it looks like... the stories tonight are that the protests are dwindling, which is, for me, is unfortunate, because I think these are issues that are appropriately raised and need to be raised persistently and continuously. And that was one of the problems I had with our protest, which was a nice protest. There was, you know, more than 100 people, maybe more than 150 people at the town clock on Tuesday night at immediately following 5:30 when the protest was called for. But the numbers, it wasn't just that they dwindled, it's that I'm not aware that there was any follow-up intended. There aren't follow-up protests or actions specifically proposed. And this has, of course, always been my issue about racial profiling in Santa Cruz. You know, they don't want to talk about that, or they only want to talk about it in the abstract, or they want to talk about it so they can talk it to death and nonviolent everybody out off to the side, by the which I mean not that people should necessarily be violent about anything, but to feel violent emotions about this can be an important motivating force, and in fact that's the reason the protests, I think, erupted, were because of those feelings at the blatant injustices that was revealed so repeatedly, both first by the shooting and then more recently by the grand jury decision not to indict Winston of any crimes whatsoever. So just for those who don't know, we walked all around. There were a number of speakers. I was allowed to speak after initially being denied that opportunity by Simba Kenyatta, who was running the thing, because he didn't like my criticism of the organization, which he is now a member, apparently the head of the NAACP locally. He'd previously been head, or at least on the board of directors of SCORE, Santa Cruz Coalition to Combat Racism in Santa Cruz County. I've got that a little wrong, but that's more or less what it is. And I've been a constant critic of both these groups in terms of they're not taking up any individual cases publicly that have come up down the pike. We've seen them, you know, on Indy Bay. Yemenides Brown, whose name I'm mangling, was her brother and her cousin were hauled off to jail after Officer Barnett accused them of smoking in a parking lot, which, again, was the thing that Bush and his and Winston used today against these youths who were at the Elm Street parking lot. And they were taken down somewhat forcefully, and some would even say brutally. And I guess they're still going to court. The charges are resisting an officer, things of that sort, although they maybe have one. I don't know what the expanded charges are, but there's been a hush-hush around this because the people at the Red Church, which is a block away from this incident when it happened, didn't want to embarrass the church, the congregation. And I think, to be fully fair, they were afraid that the person who is in the church program, Miss Brown is in the church program, they didn't want her targeted by police further. So the best thing to do was to ignore the situation, which, of course, is what America generally does and what people are suggest that they should do when police officers are abusive. Because, first of all, you'll never get anywhere if you file a complaint. This is generally true. But nonetheless, if you let people know what's going on, as happened on Tuesday night at this massive protest, then you might begin to get somewhere. Kate?
You know, the protest was wonderful and marching to the police department and all that stuff was great. But relative to the speakers, I was disappointed by the NAACP. They didn't say we have any follow-up. They didn't say, you know, look online. They read a letter and, you know, they said these various things that to me at that moment were not relevant. I was extremely disappointed by a black man who has a community face from community television, and he stood up and said, I fear for myself, my children, and my grandchildren. And I thought, you know what? Why haven't you been doing this on community TV? Educate us on what's happening here in the black community. And then the Center for Nonviolence. I was a huge fan of Scott Kennedy. I love this man. And they said, come to the Center for Nonviolence after the march and we'll make some plans. I haven't read any plans on where we're going to gather again, where we're going to protest again, and where we're going to continue talking about the vigilantes and police brutality and police accountability. So the whole thing didn't end with any actions. Zero. And this is Santa Cruz County. No actions are going to be taken against police accountability in our own community. Dump. It's done. Oh, well. I'm sorry. Those speakers were disappointing to me.
There was a big protest Tuesday night. I would have covered it more, but the last of my failing tape recorders went dead, and I don't have any audio of it there. I believe there is some stuff online. If you go to indiebay.org Santa Cruz, which I'm doing right now, you can find Ferguson the day after in Santa Cruz, and there's some stuff. Here's a little audio of this right now. And this is about the Santa Cruz protest on Tuesday night. And folks are marching with a Black Lives Matter sign. Going through the streets, although some people wanted to divert us onto the sidewalks, we stayed in the streets. And there you are, Katie, at the head of the protest. A lot of signs. We want justice. A lot of white folks, an occasional black face or two, walking up Pacific Avenue. No justice, KNOW, no justice, no peace. Hands up, don't shoot. No more pigs in our community, of course, is what he's saying.
No more pigs in our community!
And they're not talking about Ferguson. We're talking about Santa Cruz. And now they're approaching the police station, because even though the march was originally supposed to be very tame and walk to the Resource Center for Nonviolence on Ocean, under the leadership of Keith McHenry, who's walking in front of the protest now as they approach the police station, They did go to the police station, and there's a catch if you can, Katie, giving the finger to the police department. This is pretty pretty nasty there, Katie. You're not going to make it to a sergeant. But. Yes, but it's rude. You're very rude, I'm afraid. I can't accept that. You're just, I'm, of course, not being sarcastic. And I'm also
siding with the police.
And I was walking around in a bathrobe, as I often do, indicating solidarity with and satire with homeless people sleeping, and satire against the expenditure of resources for sleeping outside, criminalizing sleeping outside. And there's a lot of the video shows everyone in front of the Santa Cruz Police Department at night. There were no cops throughout the entire rally that were visible, or security guards. I think they were probably specifically directed to stay away, is my guess. And again, there was no decision in this group either. Even this is a sort of a limited group, probably of about 75 people who made it to the police station, to do anything the next day, the next night, and thereafter. Although, and they then marched across town, across the river, to Ocean Street and down to the Resource Center for Nonviolence, where a handful of us sat around in a circle, giving our names and saying, gosh, what can we do about all this? But nothing specific was proposed. After about 20 minutes, I got tired of listening to what appeared to be a Resource Center for Nonviolence recruiting session, in part, and also in part an attempt to calm down or cool off the community, and I left. But people did take the streets, and but it was, I think it was a way of stopping the, it was letting people vent so they wouldn't do anything more. I think there was legitimate concern. I'm concerned that this is, something that happens. People get all excited and then they just go home.
I was encouraged by the number of young people there who I felt wanted direction. If we had said, we're meeting tomorrow at 5, I bet you half of them would have showed up. But we just didn't have any direction for them as adults.
Katie, you didn't announce a meeting the next day at 5. I'm kind of, nor did I, for that matter.
I was trying to find Keith. Keith, what are we going to do with all
Keith
these
McHenry
people?
Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs was, I think, instrumental in making sure, although I don't know that he actually
was. He made the march happen.
I think he actually moved the march toward the police station rather than toward Resource Center. And there were two cops who eventually came out of the police station and observed, again, the inevitable Sergeant Bush. And I think it's either Officer Eboleth or Sergeant Eboleth. I'm not sure if he's moved ahead to that. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Katie and Dr. Mike and Robert.
Happy Kill a Turkey Clog Your Arteries Day.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I've had my little share of the dead beasts.
Hey, I want to hear more about gathering a bunch of people and getting real angry and then everybody going home.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that seems to be what seems to happen. You sort of, everybody shoots their wad and then goes back to Black Friday shopping on Friday.
Or whatever.
Saturday or Sunday. And mm-hmm. My real critique with a lot of the organizations in Santa Cruz is they are very institutional, and they, if they don't start off that way, they become that way, and then they suck up to, or have to suck up, or feel like they have to suck up to the powers that be to get their grant money and run their programs and all that sort of stuff. So, that's the frustrating part that I see with a lot of these institutional groups. NAACP, the whatever that is, SCORE. It seems like SCORE, all they do is stand at the town clock. I don't know that they've really done anything else. And it would be nice if they did something else, like work with HUF on some of the things that you guys have uncovered. But I think sometimes what happens, just from an outsider's perspective, is people get their egos attached, and it becomes more about them rather than any big issue or actually resolving anything.
You know, I kind of agree with you, caller, in this, in a certain way. You don't even have to work with Huff. I mean, Huff is a, we're a small group of, struggling types. And, you know, it's not a matter of joining Huff or working with Huff. But if the information comes out that there is racial profiling happening downtown in terms of petty things like smoking tickets and police stops and so forth, the kind and humiliating kinds of things that serve to make people feel uncomfortable, and I think that many African Americans will tell you is the norm here in Santa Cruz, as elsewhere, then this needs to be addressed, as I think you're pointing out, by groups like, well, it doesn't need to be addressed by NAACP and SCORE because they don't want to address it. They won't address it. But it needs to be addressed by some groups. And you would think that those groups, because they claim to be interested in the rights of the oppressed people who they're talking about and who constitute their board often, in large part, that they'd act on it. But they don't. And so the question is, what do you do next? I mean, I went to an ACLU meeting on Monday, for example. And the ACLU, when I was there, I didn't go to the whole thing, was had said nothing about Ferguson that I know of. They made no comments about racial profiling here in Santa Cruz whatsoever. Although Simba Kenyatta, the new chair of the NAACP, and as I was saying, the master of ceremonies, and the holder of the microphone at this Tuesday rally the next day, protesting the Ferguson verdict or decision to free Wilson, he gave us an impassioned speech about the need for district elections, a new Citizens Police Review Board, and an end to private financing of elections and public financing of elections, all of which are okay ideas, although they don't have much to do with naming immediate names and pursuing cases here in Santa Cruz that have already been revealed and exposed. And, you know, often, of course, attorneys will tell you, well, this person has a record, you know, of course, how many African Americans don't, given the, you know, focus on African Americans in the drug war and the criminalization through mass incarceration, to steal a phrase from Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. Anyway, I'll be playing some more of it. Did you get to the rally yourself, caller?
I did not. I was actually up in a Northern California town where things were pretty active. Here's one just thing that I hear a lot of in Santa Cruz, which I find infuriating. A lot of times people say, well, we have to get our anger up in solidarity for Ferguson. And I agree. You know, Zimmerman case, Ferguson, let's shoot a black kid on a playground. So, you know, I mean, there are injustices happening all over the United States, and it's something very much to get pissed off about and get out and show your anger. But, well, lots of times people discount what's happening in the community, our own community, and they say stuff like, well, oh, well, that the real stuff's happening someplace else. And it's like, that's bullshit, because it's happening in our own community. It's a different flavor, you know, because we don't have actually a very large population of, we're not very diverse in Santa Cruz. And yet when there is diversity, and the reason why I mentioned Huff is because you guys actually took initiative to go and look at the citations and actually pull out the evidence of what seems to be profiling. And so there is a sense of Ferguson in Santa Cruz, which is when you say, well, how come if this is a certain percentage of the population, this particular officer seems to only find, you know, this certain percentage of African Americans that are smoking. I mean, it's like, can we question that? And why aren't you pissed off when this evidence is brought up? Does it have to be just other places? Can you get pissed off about things that are going on in your own community? And that's one of my frustrations about activism in Santa Cruz, which is there's a tendency for a number of people to want to, I don't know how to put this, but sort of peace center nonviolence everything. You want to, like, they want to tap everything down and go, oh, now, we have to just overly process this, and we can't get angry, or don't get too angry, or, you know, there's an institutional way to address this. And that's, I don't know that that's necessarily always the case.
Well, I think, you know, I think, caller, it's because it's risky to raise issues in your own community.
Exactly.
And also because if you are a leader in this community, and you are closely enmeshed with other, you know, boards, and such as, for example, Steve Plaich is, he's just one example of this. They're all, I mean, it's just typical. That's one of the problems that was brought up at the Huff meeting today. I actually kicked down $5, I'm ashamed to admit, to the ACLU on Monday so that I could stay in the room and would not get kicked out by Chair Peter Gelblum, who then attempted to kick me out by saying, well, we don't allow members to stay in the room, only board members. I probably should have then asked, okay, I'd like to get on the board. Will you please vote me in? And somebody suggested that I join the board of the ACLU. And that was, you know, I could make some wonderful changes that Steve Plaich had been urging, that, and he does have some allies who've joined the board in the last 3 years. Jay and Mithril of Occupy, and Dan Etler as well. And, you know, the idea that we can all bore from within, or get bored from within, actually, is what happened. We get very bored. But, you know, the answer is you don't change these institutions. They change you. Even if you are, you know, fiery and militant, they'll take up your time.
Yeah, they will. I mean,
energy. And what, go ahead.
I was going to say this. I think for people who don't have energy, it's important to have those people in these institutions. I mean, if they're, for instance, if you had people who didn't have energy but had a spine, it would be good to have people in certain positions in certain places, you know, like these boards that are, you know, voting on RV crap, and the people who, the Rachel Naroyans who graduate from these boards and go up to become councilmembers. If you don't have really a spine, but you have the internal fortitude to sit around and listen to bullshit all the time, but can speak up, great. I think these people would be good in these various boards. On the other hand, I hate to see people who have energy and who are willing to, so to speak, not literally, but light a fire by, you know, finding the investigations and bringing things to the forefront, and journalism activism, then I think it's important for all of us to work together, because I don't think any one part is going to win. You know, I mean, people who, you can see that Michael Posner doesn't, and Don Lame doesn't do certain things.
These are two council members. In fact, Lane is going to be mayor in probably about 3 weeks.
A wider movement.
Yes. Sorry. Well, the question then is where to go from here. That's really the issue. And, of course,
I think that's a good question.
Yep.
We that's what we as a group and people have been asking in New York Occupy. People are asking in Oakland. I mean, different communities have different solutions, but I think it's essential that we have to start asking, like, what do we have to do to stop the war on poverty, the criminalization of poverty, at the very least, in Santa Cruz? I mean, because that's obviously what's at the forefront.
Well, the one thing to do, I think, I mean, I don't know what to do, but you can obviously go after specific targets by raising people's awareness of them if people are angry enough and want to risk enough. But, for instance, I mean, I was hoping there would be a meeting of the Occupy movement, that is to say the Occupy UCSC, or Occupy UC movement, that was, you know, I visited up in Berkeley last weekend, that, you know, was going strong until yesterday, or was going anyway, at the UCSC, but now apparently has ended. The building has been, you know, they abandoned it under, it looks like it's not clear why they abandoned it, but I think it was under threats from the police after a week. Could be Thanksgiving, but they removed protest signs, cleared walls. Participants said they planned to meet over the weekend to discuss further options. Well, they're meeting to discuss. But again, they're not presenting another target saying, we will reassemble at the following point.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And on Tuesday, according to this very brief story from KSBW, which is a bad source to go to anyway, two campus police officers visited the building and advised demonstrators that they were occupying it illegally. And I wonder if that might have been one of the reasons that they left.
Could be, because no one wants any, they don't want a record.
Yeah, that's always a fear. I mean, and also, as we know, although people were willing to take to the streets at least briefly in this protest on Tuesday, there were a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I think, however, this protest
is backed by national fervor. And I think that's important. People feel supported by the fact that it's not just happening in Santa Cruz, it's happening elsewhere. Although we have to focus on Santa Cruz because that's our place here.
Right.
And no one else is going to be doing it unless we do it. And other people will start to do it, both in their own towns and giving us support from afar, I think, if we do this.
I agree. I think that there's if that the, what the war that what's going on in Santa Cruz. I know that I mentioned Huff, but it's big. You know, as if even if everything goes down in flames, I think it's important that the word of what's going on in Santa Cruz is sort of waged in a spread in a larger format rather than just Santa Cruz Indie Bay. I mean, then in terms of really putting it out there, like, hey, you know, this is what's going on in this supposedly progressive town. You know, they are absolutely trying to criminalize people simply for the fact of poverty. They don't have a roof. People don't have a roof over your head. You have, in essence, less rights than you do as a person who is housed.
It's a matter also, caller, of the foreclosures. I mean, I meet people almost every day who are living on the streets now because they lost their homes that they bought, you know, in 2001 or 2002 as first-time buyers. And then in 2006, 2007, they're homeless. And it's really pathetic. But relative to rallying forward, I mean, Huff and Indy are pretty much, you know, we're taking this on. There's also a movement, Santa Cruz, what is it called, CPZ.org, that I highly recommend you look into that. But I feel that the NAACP should be calling Robert, calling the ACLU, calling the Nonviolent Center, and saying, thank you for attending this protest. This is our next meeting. We're going to take on this police review board issue.
Well, the NAACP traditionally has never been it's not a progressive movement. It's never been a progressive movement. I mean, when civil rights were being waged in the streets in the 60s, you know, even into the 70s, the NAACP was, you know, that was the institutional movement who was embarrassed by, you know, Malcolm X and you know, so they ran the other direction. So they've never been they're not progressive. They are the National Association, you know, I mean, they're institutional. And so I don't know that people even locally have the chops to really do that much in terms of progressive organizing. I think it's going to be incumbent upon people who are activists to make inroads, like with tenants, with the burgeoning tenants organization in Santa Cruz.
Is there a burgeoning tenants organization in Santa Cruz?
There was a forum where people started to get together, and there's people that are talking about investigating, you know, ownership and tenants issues in terms of trying to get the dialogue going to see if we can. Well, anything happening in Santa Cruz around tenants' rights?
Well, I know there was one city council candidate meeting that Cynthia Berger, good for her, put together, and I know that there's been some assistance kind of provided individually to a few tenants, and I know that I'm just wondering, is have you heard anything more about a tenants' movement? I'd love to hear more if there is actually.
I've read some posts by the person who actually sponsored that forum. And they seem to be, that person seems to be moving forward in terms of trying to organize people in beach flats around listening first about what do they feel they would like to do or have done. So I think in terms of what's going on right now, my perception is outreach, which is actually an important thing because it's actually going into communities and saying, what do you want? Rather than sort of the top-down approach of like a lot of Santa Cruz progressive, which is, typically, a bunch of white people telling brown people, this is what we need to do.
You mean like we're doing right now?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know that you're telling people what to do, and I'm not white, actually. So.
Katie is. She's telling the NAACP what to do, and they're mostly black people.
Well, I'm fine with the NAACP doing what they're doing, if that's what they choose to do. I'm just saying I don't expect them to do much because they never really have done much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, originally, of course, you know, the NAACP was started by people like Du Bois, who actually
yeah.
It was radical, you know, but he actually started it in opposition to the what, the Carver, Booker T. Washington.
Even within various organizations.
Uncle Tom movement,
Yeah, well, I was. My only point is in Santa Cruz, I don't see any. I haven't seen anything certainly from SCORE other than people standing at the town clock. And I'm not. You know, if you want to stand at the town clock, that's great. But I don't really know what that does.
Well, you know, they. I got to say that SCORE has been getting lots of grants, and they talk about retraining the police. That's the big deal with SCORE.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's frankly, and I if that's what they got together and said they were going to do from the beginning, that would be one thing. But they held community wide meetings 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even longer, with Simba Kenyatta in the middle of it, saying that they were going to, they wanted people's accounts of racial abuse and racial profiling by police departments, and they got them, a lot of accounts. And I repeatedly asked them, show us what happened to these goddamn reports.
Right.
And they've just disappeared into the files.
Right.
They're gone. And, you know, new reports, they don't respond to either.
Right.
Although, you know, SCORE member Dennis Etler did express some outrage at what happened to Ms. Brown and her cousin and her brother in the parking lot next to parking lot next to Pacific Avenue.
Right.
When they were, you know, dragged off to jail, two of them, for essentially a Barnett-initiated smoking incident, as I understand it.
Right.
Anyway, so let me move on here, unless there's something more you want to...
No, that's it. I'm glad to hear that things are going on Thanksgiving. Glad to hear people showed up. Lots of stuff was going on up in Oakland.
Do you want to report on that? Do you have any reports on Oakland?
Not that I really want to share.
Uh-huh. Some shady business in Oakland.
No, it's just, you know, it's everybody's, you know, you can watch what was streamed. I mean, everybody has a different perspective of, you know, what was going on depending on where you were and et cetera. But I'm glad to see people are pissed. I just, like you said, I'd like to see some follow through where people go, okay, we're pissed now.
Well,
what do we need to do?
Maybe you should first talk to Chris Hedges and he'll tell you what to do.
There you go.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Take care. And, you know, though I, you know, slightly dissing Chris Hedges here, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, he's standing up for lawsuits against the NDAA and he's got a lot of positive stuff. And he's very eloquent about the impact of war and the kind of addiction that war can create. So.
But also, Chris works
however,
in prisons.
He also, however, savagely attacked and misrepresented, I think, black bloc tactics. So I don't like that aspect of his presentation. But that's another story. And we don't even have, you know, these actions happening now. Although perhaps we do. Perhaps the caller is engaged in these. We don't know what's going on. And who knows? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm in the studio with Katie and Mike, and you, too, if you want to boom your voice in, we'll all kind of babble together. Let's hear some more from... I'm not quite sure when this is, but these are reports from the street. Fair enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Also talk to the information booth, and I feel that if the busking, of course, your listeners probably know what busking is. If the busking laws are, if they're clear and they're flexible and they're fair, then it's good for all the artists in the community, and even the artists who I don't do it right now, but there are artists who tour the country, and this is one of their stops. And I think that that it can't really be a true artist community if the busking laws are too restrictive. And yeah, right here, I believe it's at a good point, and I'm hopeful for the future of Santa Cruz and the artists here.
Well, I'm glad he's hopeful. I'm not. But that's okay. That's his voice, and that's what he thinks. This is the poet, I would call it poet for pennies, but he was a poet on the street who didn't want to offer poetry without yet getting some reassurance about, you know, that he would get some kind of, I don't know, royalty back or protection so his stuff couldn't be sold commercially. I'm not sure what the story is. In any case, the busking laws, we'll see. My advice to people is I encourage you to protest the busking laws. But the problem with that, of course, is that the fines are severe. They're $300 or so that they can start throwing at you. And for people who are buskers... you can't so easily throw away busking tickets as, for example, penniless homeless people throw away the sleeping tickets, as I'm, you know, you find that it frequently happens, because you're out there on the streets to try to make enough money to move along if you're a busker, and if you then have to be saddled with a second ticket, can be a misdemeanor, up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. On the other hand, if people are doing all this together and a group, and it's a protest, if that has any, you know, if that can spark widespread resistance, which is always problematic, that's another issue. It's always, you know, it's easy to say go out there and try, because unless you're doing it yourself, you're not, you're not taking the risk. Anyway, let's hear some more of our busker guy, who I don't entirely agree with. In fact, I rather strongly disagree with, but let's hear him.
Because the city council will be voting in 3 days on new laws.
Will they? I did not hear about that.
Oh, yeah. They will set up, I don't know.
What are the new laws?
Well, if you look on the sidewalk, you will see dots. It's kind of hard to see them at night.
Okay.
These are not the dots, but they're similar to them.
In some areas.
They're blue, they're red, and they're yellow. And they essentially restrict performing to less than 2% of the sidewalk, which to me is abusive, and also...
In 3 days?
That will be in 3 days, a final reading of the ordinance.
Where can I find that news?
Well, it's online on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is a website I write on, indiebay.org.
Is that on the card you gave me?
If you go...
I could write it down, but...
If you call me, I will give you information on that. It is...
Your name is?
It's on the card, Robert Norris.
Okay, Robert, and my name is Josh. I'll give you a call about that. I got to get back to performance.
Please do.
Thanks for the tip, because I hope that does not pass.
And good luck with the poetry. Remember, two roads diverged in a narrow wood, and we won't get into that.
In Santa Cruz, it's two roads diverged in a very strange wood.
Thank you very much, Josh.
You're welcome.
All right, man. And we have the Saturday Night Mariachi, mariaching it up, but without three young children. Across from the library, it's around 15 to 4. I'm talking to a very confidential source whose latest word is...
The SUPD won't let homeless people sleep underneath bridges during the rain.
And did they... This is an attempt to help the homeless get cheap showers? Is that the plan?
No, they don't want them under bridges because it's an eyesore.
You mean for those people who wander under bridges during the rain, it might hurt to make their eyes feel sore?
I guess so.
Well, the police are always looking after your optical well-being. You know that, right?
Yes.
Any other reports on other exciting adventures in Santa Cruz that the homeless people could get into or getting into?
No.
And we've been talking with...
Nobody.
Nobody. Thank you, nobody. So it's the Santa Cruz City Council, November 18th, 2014. And the item on the agenda is the... Stay away order. And Pegsky first alarm guy Tall John is wandering the area, chatting with Parks and Rec Ranger woman. Perhaps she's the boss. Ranger, not sure. Here we are outside, and Pat Colby's providing a meal, which is some kind of beans and rice, and there are some brownies. Keith McHenry is sitting in the chair that I intend to take inside City Council.
And this is the November 18th meeting of the Santa Cruz City Council, where a First reading of the revised stay-away ordinance happened, and I'm not going to go into the lengthy description that I usually do about the stay-away ordinance, but we were there to protest it, and it was actually due to come back, we thought, on the 25th, but it didn't, and now we learned it's coming back almost certainly, and probably for a slam-dunk rubber stamping. It doesn't mean we won't be there trying to yowl our protest on December 9th. Which will be the last harumph of the last of this city council. And they will also be congratulating themselves, commending themselves, patting themselves on the back, and initiating the new city council, which will then go into force. That's going to be with Cynthia Chase and Rochelle Naroyan. And, of course, David Terrazas, reelected. And Don Lane, I'm told, is likely to be elected mayor because he got the most votes, an election or two back. So, this, however, is November 18th at the City Council, and we were hanging around outside. I'm not entirely sure if a lot of this is airworthy, but if it isn't, I'll try to cover it up fast and cut it off quickly. You, however, may be airworthy, 427-3772, call-in number. Give it a try.
He's in Texas, but he's in there.
You know what, does he have his own company?
I'm asking Sergeant Bush. Sergeant, you going to take my tape over today if I leave it up there? Go watch the agenda. Maybe do some reading.
More than likely, yes.
I appreciate your candor. Thank you.
And I think his answer was, I don't remember the exact words. You can replay this. I think it was, in essence, yes, probably. And, in fact, he did make motions to take my tape recorder. I intercepted him and engaged in a mock boxing match with him. Because I was sitting near the tape recorder in the front row, but that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted me to be sitting right next to the tape recorder, so I moved and again sat down in a chair I had placed facing the audience right next to the bar that separates the dais of the city council and their associated staff from the rest of us in the audience.
So it's about 9 to 4.
Create affordable housing or provide aid assistance to individuals with zero income so that they can have access to housing. So this is our reality check. The gold line is our CDBG funding, and you can see that over the last 20 years it's just steadily declined, about 40%. The green line is our home funding, and it started in 1996 directly to the city.
And what this is a discussion of CDBG and HUD funding for Santa Cruz projects that involve housing, which, you know, is relevant to homelessness. And there was a rather lengthy discussion of this, which I believe is available online. I think they actually got this up pretty promptly online. But it's not something that I am particularly conversant with. I know that some of the main people who were talking about this, the issues as to, you know, what kind of housing money is available were also raised 2 days later. I think it was Wednesday before last at the police station in the community room with, I think, a HUD presenter, but also a sort of an apple polisher for the city council named, I think it was Susan O'Hara, who heads the paid staff person for the DUP projects, the Downtowners, it's the DAP project, Downtowners Attacking the Poor, as I like to call them, but they call themselves the Downtown Accountability Project. And the issue here is whether they're claiming to be really offering services to people on the street, helping them get rid of their tickets, you know, getting them into housing as a way of addressing problems that both impact them and also the poor merchants who just can't stand seeing them there on the street day after day, mainly because they're afraid they impact their businesses. Or maybe there's a lot of ambulance activity and police activity around some of them that raises the costs to the city and county. I'm not sure about the city, but I think the county would have to pay for it. Maybe the city, too, fire department and so forth. So the idea is to, you know, put these people into cheap housing somewhere, and which isn't a bad idea. I mean, cheap housing as an option is a great idea. But really, unfortunately, what I think is happening here, and again, this is my opinion, and I do not have a lot of stats to back it up, because I haven't really been closely following it, although I tried to follow it more closely with some public records this summer. They are indeed offering people sort of a one chance in a housing program. But then if you fail, if you get another citation for, you know, being drunk downtown or, I don't know, sitting next to a building or bad-mouthing a cop or, you know, getting a stay-away order from a park. Again, I'm not sure. They haven't told us what their criteria are. They didn't tell us then as to who gets in the program. And nor do we have the criteria for what's going to kick you out of the program. Then you're offered either a – I'm told this, and I've not seen the documentation, so – I'd like somebody to correct me on this if they have more information. You either you get a bus ticket out of town or you can go to jail, which really is a sort of an example of the kind of nativist bigotry that we've seen in some other cities and that Santa Cruz merchants have complained. They're sending all our people to Santa Cruz. They're sending their people. And this is the kind of, you know, the lament you've heard from some merchants now doing, well, at least this program is, if this is accurate, doing something similar. I again wonder if this is true. If it is, you know, it's more of the same bullshit, and it's exactly what I suspected they were trying to do. But, you know, one doesn't want to simply, you know, the facts are more important than one's suspicions or fears, so we need to know more about that. Let's take a musical break here, because I want to be... I'm going to take a musical break. You're not calling in, so I get to break. And I will remind you that if you do have tickets or want to help in the various Huff projects, we will be there, some of us, on Saturday at the Food Not Bombs meal. That's going to be... ...4 o'clock on Saturday, so check it out. I think we got the right disc here. Let's see. Okay, well, I'm going to try to play something that's, that was Skidmark Bob, by the way, in case you were wondering who was singing. I've been down so fucking long, it looks like up to me. Here's something from the November 18th City Council, which is not the last City Council meeting. It was the council meeting before last, where there was some discussion of the stay-away order, increased powers to police, that comes up for a final reading on December 9th.
And ask questions directly and also kind of hear the presentation in that environment, I think will be really helpful to get more understanding of the...
This is the end of the prior agenda item.
Specifically housing, and some of it's also specifically other parts of what we do for low-income area serving needs. With that, I think you've been given a lot of direction from the council, and I thank you for your time, and I thank you for input from the community as well on this, and you'll have more chances.
Again, this was on input on HUD and CDBG funding. How should it be spent? Obviously not on such things as a low-income campground. I mean, that would be an utter waste of money, right? Although, of course, it would be a way of actually helping vast numbers of people and saving a lot of police department funding.
And quite a few of the comments that are more appropriate for oral communication. So as long as you can make sure your comments do go to the agenda item that is currently before us, that's the only reason, and it's unusual. This whole year, I don't think I've really had to stop anyone's comments, but tonight I've had to do it twice, I believe. So just as a reminder, and we will be going on.
This is Mayor Robinson, because she interrupted two speakers who were upset about the stay-away orders and talking about it on other issue, on other agenda items.
Ordinance amending section 13.08.100 of the Municipal Code pertaining to orders to vacate park property, and this will be, I believe, our Parks and Recs Director, Danette Shoemaker. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. Police Chief Kevin Vogel is also available, as is Mauro Garcia and Heather Ryder, to answer any specific questions you might have. This is the first reading of an ordinance that we brought a similar reading to you back in October. And after that meeting, we received a letter from the ACLU that expressed some concerns about the proposed ordinance and especially the lack of an appeal process within the proposed ordinance. So we're back with you in front of you tonight to talk about our need for the ordinance and 13.08.100 of the Municipal Code.
And Danette is going to explain what it is, and boy, I said I wasn't going to do this, but this is an ordinance that would make it within the power of a police officer who gives any kind of infraction ticket to a person to issue a stay-away order as well, if she or he chooses to do so, before any kind of conviction or even charge is filed in court, and regardless of the outcome of that charge in court. So the stay-away order right now on the books is you can be told to stay away for a day from any area controlled by Parks and Rec, which is a large area, not just the parks, but areas of Pacific Avenue and other areas all over town, Poganap and so forth. The expansion of the law would allow any second infraction to require you to stay away for a week, both from the area where you got that infraction and any previous areas where you were given stay-away orders. The third would be a month. If you got a third infraction ticket and the cop chose to give you a stay away with it, it would be for a month. The fourth for 6 months. The fifth for a year. And this, they patched up the ordinance when it was pointed out by the ACLU that it's unconstitutional for a variety of reasons. It gives unusual powers to the police officers to make kind of judgments as to who can be given these things and who can't. There's no real appeal process. And the appeal process means... what they did was they tacked on a process, an administrative process, that the city manager's office will appoint someone, and you can go to that person within 10 days before, presumably, your ticket actually gets to court, and you have to show you're innocent, or by a preponderance of the evidence, that the stay-away order is not justified. But since there's no criteria as to what, you know, what's going to prove that it wasn't justified, How come, you know, and half the tickets given in the last year, they gave stay-away orders, and the other half they didn't, without any kind of reason or justification or standard for doing so. Stay-away orders that, again, didn't go through a court. Stay-away orders usually mean, and in the past they've always meant, you get an order from a court that requires you to stay away from the scene of a crime. Or a private business can certainly tell you, stay away from us. And I think they've recently, in the last 2 years, they used such a procedure in the library where they're giving stay away rules, which have never been taken to court. But the notion then you can ban people. I think they expanded this. The city council some city council members justified it by saying, well, if they can order you to stay away from the library, we can order you to stay away from anywhere without any kind of court. Which, of course, insofar as you're dealing with public spaces, simply is not true. And it's horrendous if it's actually treated as true, and it's actually something that becomes part of the normal scene. Anyway, you're going to hear Danette Shoemaker describing all the crimes that justify this. Actually, well, you be the judge.
Gives our rangers and police officers the ability to ask people who are cited for violations for illegal activity in our parks to stay away for 24 hours. That's the existing ordinance. What we're seeing is that we have quite a few repeat offenders, and we are hoping that if we can increase the stay away time, that we may get more compliance. We still have a lot of problems in our parks with illegal activities.
And two things here. Yes, they want to use this as a terror tactic rather than one they're enforcing that they get you to enforce on yourself. So in essence, to make you regard yourself as a criminal and keep away from areas that you have a perfect right to be in. This is part of the general scheme of law enforcement and the laws in Santa Cruz. Generally, they don't have the person power or the jail space to really enforce this kind of stuff if people challenged it. But if they get you sufficiently scared, then they can get you to leap through these hoops, avoid these areas, act in very domesticated ways, and essentially deny basic human needs, such as sleep at night, the most obvious need. And they don't have to expend any resources. All they got to do is pass laws. I guess that's part of the theory behind this. The second thing is you're going to hear her use the phrase illegal behavior again and again. What she won't tell you, and what the city council ignores when we bring it up, is an elaborate and exhaustive analysis of all citations in the last year have shown that the majority of them, I might even say the overwhelming majority, I think it's more than 60%, are for the following kinds of, quote, illegal behavior. Sleeping, being in a park after dark, or smoking. That's the illegal behavior that will ban you from these areas for not just for a night, but for a week, a month, 6 months, a year, when this law comes back, if it passes on the 9th of December.
And this includes black people, Latino people, white people.
But it's probably mainly white people it's going to impact in Santa Cruz. Although we did find that Officer Barnett downtown, when he was issuing citations, he gave out 10% of his citations to folks of African-American visage. African-Americans make up 1.4% of the county. So he's ticketing them at a rate of 7 times their prevalence in the county. Now, they may be concentrated downtown, or there may be a lot of black people downtown. I haven't seen that many black people occasionally. Or they may be natural criminals, which, of course, seems to be the PR job being done on the drug war and the reason for this great, massive, and very profitable expansion of the prison industry over the last 3 decades. But, yeah, racial profiling is an issue. Let's hear some more of Danette.
I've been CC'd on several letters that have come to you just over the last few days, in particular about Garfield Park, San Lorenzo Park, Harvey West Park. What parents and grandparents are expressing concern about are very similar to the concerns that are expressed by our staff within the parks daily. It's illegal activity. People selling drugs, using drugs, urinating and defecating
The citations issued for those crimes were minuscule, less than 4 or 5% of citations. Using drugs, selling drugs, urinating, or defecating. Of course, there is the reality that there are no open bathrooms at night, although there could be, because open bathrooms are available in some of these large parks, particularly, for example, San Lorenzo Park. The city chooses to close them and then start denouncing people for crapping in the bushes. I mean, it's kind of convenient if you want to, you know, ramp up anti-homeless hysteria, but it's... obviously economically stupid. It's being done for a political purpose. Mike, you wanted to say something, I think?
Well, what I just wanted to say was this lady has a salary of over $200,000 a year. It's unnecessary for any job in the city to have that kind of a salary. Unnecessary.
Okay. So... yeah, I mean, she and the city manager get a lot of bucks, and probably even more in pensions and other perks, although I don't know what the stats are for that. What I do know is that this was primarily presented in its earlier incarnation, because she had an earlier law that they brought forward, and then they pulled back because the ACLU issued there's no appeal process, and they tacked on this, in-house appeal process that has nothing to do with any real legal standards or anything of that sort, and gives you no real clarity of defense as written. They added something onto it when it came to the city council on November 18th as well, saying if you can prove by a preponderance of the evidence, which is a standard which means 51% of the evidence, that this stay-away order was not necessary, how the hell can you do that? I'm not sure. Then the administrative officer shall dismiss the charge. Although that's not written into the law, that's what the city attorney said was in the law implicitly, or he was adding to it, I'm not quite sure. The problem is, of course, in court, they have to prove, not just by a preponderance of the evidence, not just by clear and convincing evidence, which requires more evidence. They have to prove by beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty of the crime. So the standard is much looser, and you'll be punished, really punished, by essentially being denied access to the parks. And for poor and homeless people, that is a serious matter. The parks that you were specifically told to stay away from. Not all parks, it was pointed out, no, until they go after you in those parks. And then it'll be those parks, too. Let's hear some more about the illegal activities. And again, this is Dinette Shoemaker, who before spoke a lot about how, a wedding party was called off because people were nervous about homeless people in the parks. This pretext has been used, or this reason has been used repeatedly in the last two or three decades here. You'll see it a lot online. It's a lot like the class equivalent of racism. It is a form of fear and stereotyping and smearing a whole group with the bad experiences or the things you've heard about bad experiences with homeless folks or the realities of homeless life that you don't want to face and you don't want to address. Maybe it scares you. Maybe, you'd prefer to see everything neat and clean and trim and good, and perhaps they would too. I don't know. But that is not the reality, and because it's not the reality, you're going to make sure it's driven away from your neck of the woods. And call it crime, and you get people excited about it and start screaming about needles, even though you haven't got, a decent program for inhalation therapy or injection therapy. I want to say injection therapy. Injection centers and inhalation centers. People can actually safely use these drugs if they choose to do it. Instead, you have areas where people, they're branded criminals. They're thrown into jail. Huge amounts of money get involved, and it creates a whole structure, forfeiture structure, civil forfeiture, and of course, it criminalizes the majority of African American men as part of the new underclass and the new Jim Crow nationally, and I would suspect locally as well. But I haven't got the figures on that, so I'm not going to say.
Outside the restrooms, people being in the parks after hours, our parks are all posted, generally sunrise to sunset. We get complaints from neighbors with people being in the parks after hours. And we've gone through
I wonder how many complaints they get from neighbors in the Poganip of people being in parks after hours, or even in San Lorenzo Park. I mean, why would there be a problem? If there's a crime problem after hours, other than the fact that the person is in the park, maybe they're making too much noise, that's a real problem. I mean, you can also say there's a drug activity, but I don't think that's a crime. I know it's a major crime, and people treat it as a crime. I think it has nothing to do with the well-being of other people and doesn't affect them, except it's, again, a nice, as I said, money-making device for a lot of agencies, courts, lawyers, police, probation officers, pharmaceutical companies, you name it. And it's also a way of caging a significant portion of the population and branding them as felons for the rest of their lives, which denies them jobs, housing, public benefits, and relegates them to a criminal status. That's what they're trying to do to the homeless people, is stamp criminal on their foreheads for engaging in sleeping, smoking, being in a park after dark.
Say something. I don't think people realize how much money this is costing the homeless population in their veterans checks, their Social Security checks, whatever benefits they have. Most of them don't exceed $400 to $800 a month. They spend more than that in fees and penalties and being ripped off. They're ripped off by police, and that includes money and identifications. Excuse me, it's a fact. But they're also ripped off by criminals, vigilantes, and people who sell drugs and steal bikes. And that is a crime every neighborhood should be concerned with.
Thank you, Madam Drug War Crusader. Here's some more from Danette Shoemaker. Perhaps you two can get together and fight the drug war together. But I appreciate your passion about how homeless people are impacted, Katie. Also, it is true that not only is this abusive toward homeless people, it's a pretty significant expense, a public expense. In fact, Steve Clark, our deputy chief of police, a year ago in his report to the city council in their so-called homelessness study session, was claiming that a huge proportion of the infractions and police calls are for people with homeless addresses in the park. What he didn't tell you was that was mainly for camping, and that it had the same kinds of stuff he opposes, such as sanctuary campgrounds or opening up parking lots for people to sleep or camp in, which would alleviate the situation. He continues to denounce these kinds of programs, or not to support them, surely, which, of course, it feeds into. I don't think it's simply his desire to get more money for the police department. I think he has this very basic, sharp, right-wing ideology that everybody should be able to follow the rules of middle-class people in their homes, whether they have homes or not, which is ridiculous and abusive. But he's next in line to be police chief, so watch out.
Theories of environmental changes, trying to help the public, the lawbreakers, understand that this is not okay. So we've cut back vegetation, we've increased lighting. For the first time in my memory in Parks and Recreation, we actually have a park with a fence around it and the gates can be locked, other than a specialty park like the skate park and the bike park. We're in the process right now of getting quotes for a fence at Grant Park so that we can lock that.
And again, why? Where's the evidence of environmental damage? Where's the evidence of costs to the Parks and Rec authorities of any damage to the property? She presented none. I've heard none. I've even not heard her claim specifically any. It's just this feeling of, let's do everything we can, including fences up around the Homeless Lack of Services Center at 115 Coral Street. Let's put in security gates. Let's do ID checks, based upon the fantasy that if you turn the entire area into a prison for homeless people, they'll find it unwelcome and avoid it. I mean, that's the theory. You think it's going to work? I don't think so. But I think that's their plan.
At night. We've introduced new activities in some of the areas in the parks that are attracting illegal activity. We have our parks unit staffed by the police sergeant and the CSOs. We have our rangers staffed by our chief ranger, our benefited rangers, and a good number of temporary rangers, which we have increased over the last 6 months to try and address these continuing problems along the levees, in our open spaces, and in our neighborhood and community parks. We've also used first alarm on occasion, and we still don't have compliance. This summer, as I said back in October.
Why would people comply when the parks are one of the few places they can try to hide to sleep at night? She's asking the unreasonable and the impossible. Kate, briefly summarize your thoughts.
Okay, I wrote them down, two of them quickly. Why county supervisors and council are not addressing racial profiling by at least one reported Santa Cruz PD officer, we have proof. The police review committee of volunteers could be people like Dr. Mike, who is an MD, a few attorneys, some professionals, and one homeless foreclosure victim. Next, I've been living on the streets as a volunteer for the last 43 months. Increased lighting. Do you know how many streets in this county look like Saratoga that has no street lighting? In crime, you know, in 2014, homeless did not land in Santa Cruz in 2014. I've been on the street since 2011. The bus stops are dimly lit. This town is an invitation for these cops to harass people that they can't even see what's going on. They can't even see what's in your pockets.
Anything else?
No, I thank you.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little more about Danette, though we're running out of time, and there's going to be a, I don't know if Uncle Dennis is coming into the studio tonight. I don't think so. He's probably with his family devouring maybe a vegan turkey substitute, perhaps. I'm not sure if Dennis is vegetarian or not. But I'm going to put on another show for him, and it looks like there may actually be a new Dennis show from the Cream of the Dregs for the first time in 5 years in the studio. This is, well, 3 years. Let's not exaggerate. If this is true, I'm impressed. Anyway, here's a little more from our favorite Danette Shoemaker, head of Parks and Rec, at the November 18th City Council meeting, pushing for a new law that will give police unprecedented powers in Santa Cruz.
It was the worst summer for illegal activity in our parks that I can remember in 30 years. There was an editorial in this week in Sentinel. There was a letter from one of our young recreation leaders, our junior leader volunteers, who said she doesn't know if she's coming back after being at Harvey West Park for 3 years just because of the increased activity and her concern for her safety and the safety of our kids.
I'm sorry, I know I'm interrupting too frequently. We got to give Danette a chance to say her say. The phrases like the worst illegal activity in 30 years, her safety, without specifying, has anybody been charged with assault? Have there been complaints of assault? We're talking about the sudden middle-class expectations of what might happen to them if those dirty people came a little closer. Or it's also an issue of, we're losing money because the wedding party canceled because they saw too many homeless people in the park. You know, I can understand that Danette Shoemaker wants to maintain a financial stream into the city's parks. I'm glad that that is the case. I mean, I think that should be the case. But her responsibility is to the entire community and to understand particularly the needs of the most vulnerable people in the community and the reality of the life that's lived there. She knows this. You know, I cannot believe she doesn't know this. Or perhaps the problem is that she has become so indifferent to it. Or institutionally, this is her requirement that she has to proceed this way in order to, I was going to say pander to, but that's perhaps what it is, the kinds of constituency she listens to, which is a very bigoted minority of this community, I believe, or I hope.
And she's got to justify her large salary of $250,000.
You just can't get over her making more money than you, eh, Mike?
I think you're right there. I think it's way too much money for somebody with
Yeah, but she's trying to deal with the illegal sleeping activity in these parks by making sure these criminals don't come back. We'll scare them out.
She specifically said that the crime, the number one crime, is they're sleeping in the parks. That is against the law. She also said they're there after dark. That is against the law. And they are smoking. That is against the law. And that we've got that on recording.
Actually, she didn't say any of that. But we found that. I don't think so. We found that. Well, we disagree.
I wrote it down when she said it.
Right. Well, you've got different ears than I do. And maybe you heard something else. But I know that we found that to be true for sure. So I think if she had admitted that, the people sitting at the city council might have said, wait a minute, we're spending all this money on smoking, sleeping, and being in the park after dark. I mean, isn't that a little kind of crazy? No, she focuses on the threats to the community, the public safety. And she deliberately uses phrases like illegal activity. The word sleeping may have appeared briefly, but it wasn't the focus of what she's saying.
Also, there was no specific complaints about the wedding party. The homeless weren't interfering, I presume, with the wedding party. Otherwise, we would have heard some complaints.
Well, there wasn't a wedding party because they didn't come. They canceled because they were afraid there would be a problem.
Oh, I see.
There are a couple of instances she gave at the previous meeting for all you folks. And actually, examining this woman's fear rhetoric in detail is...
She just seems
depressing,
like
to say the least.
She seems like a timid lady, doesn't have a lot of real experience.